I used to remember that. Just remember, you are behind me,
yes.
But you are catching up. You know what? I don't mind getting old. I am having the time of my life. It is great. You know, as Dorothy and I think back, and of course we've always lived for the Lord, whether we were raising children or at work, our desire was to live for the Lord. It's just now, we got home last night about 4, and we headed to a potluck to hopefully reach more people with the gospel. And so I've had 2 potlucks in 24 hours. And I watched what I ate last night, and I watched what I ate today. And so...
Did you have chocolate last night?
I did have chocolate last night. Was it a potluck? I had chocolate today. I had that pie. And so it wasn't brownies, and it wasn't cake, but it was still chocolate. And if not, I'd go home and get that $1 million chocolate bar and work on that just a little bit. It's that big around, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
And I've started on it, okay? I'm getting there. So, but anyway, I kept thinking, well, I'll wait till everybody comes over and we'll share it. And
Dorothy
gave it to me for Valentine's Day. I said, Dorothy, Roy already gave that to me. She said, it doesn't matter. It's still for your Valentine's Day.
That's why the good Lord gives dentures.
You know why we can laugh and have fun? It's because we're doing our best to show love. That's verification that we do have love. The fact that we can do it together shows that it's for others. You know, when Dorothy gave me Roy's chocolate bar for Valentine's Day, she was upset because she hadn't got me anything for Valentine's Day. And I said, I'm glad you didn't, because I didn't get you anything. And she said, yeah, you did. You got me a flower last week. I said, that was last week. So she doesn't let me get her flowers but once in a while. And I let her pick them out because otherwise she wouldn't like them. So. But it's all about love. And guys, when we've got love, we can have joy. I want to get rid of the unloving things out of my life. And the love that we show and the relationship that we have here is evidence that we're trying. Every one of us has our own struggles in love. We have our own challenges in trying to show it in a proper way, and we have our own weaknesses where we don't do it as we should. But honestly, Judy, I know you get around a lot of places. I do too as a preacher, and I've been preaching for many years, and I've worked in Jamaica and I've heard the singing. I've been in black congregations in Illinois, and I thought, man, this is neat, you know. And when I lead songs in Jamaica, they say, what's wrong with you? But as I've experienced so many congregations, and I do it in a fairly intimate way and getting to know individuals and the workings of a congregation, I so appreciate what we have here. We honestly have a lot of love. Now, we've got a lot of room to grow, and we need to keep growing. But the fact that we've got love helps it to be a whole lot more doable and a lot of fun along the way. And we need to keep that love, because I can guarantee you that Satan doesn't like it. And he's going to do what he can to stop it. He'll use you and he'll use me. He'll use things that are on the outside. But guys, you don't want to lose the love that we've got. I don't want to lose it. In fact, I want it to be better tomorrow than it was today. And that's the reason we have lessons on love. That's the reason we have lessons on what does God teach. Because all of these things are so very important. And so, as we look at this thing, we know that sometimes love doesn't come back. But to me, the next point is so very important. We don't love for self. Now, honestly, I think we get so much back when we do love, as God says. You know, honestly, and I use my wife and I as illustration a lot, but we've had to work on this. But, you know, we each truly try to give our very best to make each other's life wonderful. And we don't do it for self, but when you treat one another that way, the love comes back. Now that's a marriage relationship. In the church, we are the bride of Christ. And we are in a marriage with Jesus Christ. And we must be doing the same thing, not so that we can get it back, but I'll guarantee you, we will. And it'll be so much better than what we deserve. And so we don't not do it for self. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 33. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 33, the Apostle Paul says, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved." Honestly, when I try to do things nice for Dorothy, I don't do it for me. But the fact of the matter is, this is kind of the way love works. I do nice things for her, and then she feels like she needs to do nice things for me. Isn't that the way it works in marriage? Okay? And I see couples that they don't have that figured out, you know? And so a lot of times they're at each other and they're unhappy because they're not trying to please the other. And when we will try to please the ones that are around us, we don't do it for us. We don't do it for our own profit, but I guarantee you we will profit. The Apostle Paul, though he was looking at these Corinthian brethren and the issues that they had with him, because he was an inspired apostle, he was telling them things that they didn't want to hear. But he did it because he loved them. He sacrificed night and day for them, as you and I are going to do for each other if we have the kind of love that we should have. But it's a wonderful relationship, isn't it? It's a relationship that we can both grow and develop in. And so when we give our love to somebody else, we need to remember, as the Apostle Paul says, that we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the one that we share it with. And honestly, as I think back on the people that I've tried to show my love and kindness for and tried to exhibit my love in the way that I've treated them, guys, it's always come back. And it's blessed my life. But let's not focus on those few times where we've been hurt. Could you remember that? Don't allow those times to cloud your love that you're giving out today. Because we can always think of times where we've been hurt by somebody that we have made sacrifices for. That's okay. But remember what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. Whatever things are honest, whatever things are true, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So are we going to think on the things where we gave love and it wasn't returned? Absolutely not. We're going to be thankful to God that we were able to do that good, because we didn't do it for us anyway. Who'd we do it for? Jesus. And so guess what? If we did it for Jesus, it's okay, isn't it? And that's what we've got to remember, because even the Apostle Paul recognized that sometimes it didn't come back in the way that he wanted. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 4, we see that some people exhibit love even in the face of physical adversity. It says in that passage, "Who for my life laid down their own necks," speaking of Priscilla and Aquila, his helpers in Christ in verse 3. He said they laid down their own necks for him, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And so we've got individuals that gave love for others, even at the risk of being physically hurt. And believe me, they had a great risk at that time in history. I mean, we had government that was out to kill Christians and put them in prison and do many things to Christians to stop them. And so Priscilla and Aquila were very quick to still get out there and do things for Paul, knowing that the government might be on their necks, knowing that the Jewish brethren that would... Did you remember all the things the Jewish brethren did to Paul? They hounded him from city to city. They raised up insurrection to hopefully get him killed. They stoned him themselves. Aquila and Priscilla knew that. And they were willing to risk their necks because they loved Paul. Now, we really don't have that problem today. Why is it so hard sometimes to show our love? To be that helper, to help others, even in the face of possible adversity. I think the worst thing we can have, you know, and our teens, what's the worst thing going to happen? One of your friends put you down because you love the Lord? That's about it. You know? And we get to adults, and so what's the worst thing going to happen to us? One of our buddies says, "What do you think? How come you're not running with me and doing the same trash that I do? What do you mean you're going to church on Sunday? Let's go party." Right? And what kind of a sacrifice is that? Guys, there is no sacrifice today, in my opinion. I mean, compared to the first century, there is none. Now, it is. Okay, so I'm not taking away from the struggles that you and I go through to stand up for the Lord. But I'm saying that in comparison, we don't have anything to be considered about. We have it so good. And so even at the risk of others putting you down, or no matter what it may be, love your neighbors and your enemies. What's neat is to love those enemies and watch them become our friends. Isn't that neat? Haven't you seen that happen in your own life? Where you exhibit a proper love instead of lashing out at somebody that's hurt you or somebody that's done something to you. Instead of lashing out, you do something in love to them. In kindness. A cup of cold water. I'm going to tell you something, young people. You listen. If somebody is not nice to you, you be nice. Now remember, what was the golden rule? As? That's right. Now, Rachel's version of that was, "Do unto them before they get you." But she was pretty young at the time. Okay, she wouldn't do that now, would she?
No.
Okay, just try. I love Rachel. Guys, remember the golden rule. Jesus promised. And so therefore it will come back. Let him have his way with thee. I love that song to him. I really did, because it fits so well. And I appreciate that. And so allow Jesus to have his way with you and be good to your enemy. Be willing to sacrifice. Show that love. Love is also unselfish. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I really believe that we are so blessed, so extremely blessed, when we love others. I believe that which comes back to us is so much abounding from what we deserve and what we gave. I've seen it so many times. I've seen the love that comes back, and I think about individuals that do not understand to love, and I associate with people in the world all the time, and I see the struggles and the turmoils that they're having, and I feel so sorry for them. And I try to help them to make changes in their lives to actually exhibit love towards others and their enemies. And the thing is, love does come back, and we just need to be very careful to work it do that. Notice that guys, love's not selfish. It does do not behave thyself unseemly in 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. It seeks not its own. Honestly, I don't love Dorothy but so that she will do nice things for me. That's not the reason I do it. Now, I tell you what, I kind of like how nice she is to me. Okay? I really learned how much I loved Dorothy when she was sick. And she couldn't do much for me. And I never turned back. Guys, when we love only to get, we will never understand love. We need to love so that we can give. You know, when the Apostle Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live," he's basically saying, I've died to myself, okay? I've given up my own will, and I've done it because I want to serve Christ. Because when I love Christ, when I love you, whoever, you know who I'm serving? Not you. I'm serving Jesus. I need to give up on me. And let Him have His way with you. And so love is unselfish, and we need to make sure that we are very unselfish in our love, and I'll guarantee you, you'll get more than you deserve. And it makes it wonderful. When we give out love, it comes back. The next point is love is verifiable. You can tell. Okay? You know, it's kind of, I love to see our children. And they seem to be able to spot somebody that truly cares. Isn't that neat? You know, I just love the love that comes back from those children. It's just so precious. And I think of, you know, I want to protect them. And I want to help them to have a good life. And I want to give them direction. There's something that they can sense, I think. You see, love is verifiable. But love is verifiable both in deed and in truth. In other words, it's verifiable in the things that we do. And it's also verifiable in that fact that it's truthful love. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard..." No, that's chapter 2. I knew something was not right. Okay, chapter 3. I was in chapter 2. Chapter 3, verse 18. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Guys, is it love when the door's closed and people aren't looking? I've got to treat my wife the same way when we're alone as I do when we're with you. I've seen too much two streets. One when nobody's looking. And unfortunately, I found out many things over the years. And then one when other people look. And that's one thing that's been so hard for me as a preacher, but it's been good because it's forced me to really make sure that I do it the same all the time. You see, love is verifiable. You know, Tim mentioned, you know, when you get away and you're somewhere else on a vacation or something, meet with God's people. If you go away from here and you're not meeting with God's people, there's a problem. Guys, we need to make sure that we don't talk a good game. We can talk a good game and we make people think that we do love, but if our actions don't show it, it's definitely not love. It's actually what Jesus calls hypocritical. And I'll tell you what has hurt the church more than probably anything else over the years is people that call themselves Christians on Sunday and live like something else the rest of the time. We've got to make sure that no matter what setting we are in, that we act like a Christian. When I sat with that man in the hotel room in Jackson, Tennessee, there was nobody to see it but me and the Lord. He was a pimp. And I studied the Bible with him. And I acted like a Christian. When I sat down with a man that was a Hell's Angels member, I still acted like a Christian. And we shared from the gospel together. Guys, it doesn't matter where you're at. Your love needs to be verifiable. Don't get into familiar territory and allow your words and your deeds to not be loving. Don't allow the things you say among those that are on the outside to be different than what they would be when you are sitting in this room with faithful Christians. Because if they're different, you are not loving in deed and truth. You're only loving in word and tongue. We need to make sure, because when it really boils down is what we're like when we're somebody else. Now we're all weak. We all have struggles. We all have room to grow. But our love needs to show at all times. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24, and it kind of goes back to what I mentioned with the children, I believe that love is very easy to see. It says in that passage, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another man's wealth." In other words, here we are, when we're actually looking out for the good of those that are around us, it's going to show. You can't hide that. But the self-seeking one, that it's always about themselves, that shows too, doesn't it? You know, I told Crystal the other day, I said, talk to Roy. He can tell you whether or not that carpet's salvageable. Now, Roy's not interested in getting your money. He'll tell you whether or not he thinks there's a good chance of it. That's verifiable, though. That's just an illustration of how it is. I mean, that's why, you know, I had Roy in a house of mine here. Was it last week you came by? And he tested several spots and he said, I'm not sure about this one. He said, it's going to mainly come out. He said, but I don't know if it's all going to come out. And he looked at some other spots and he said, I think we can do it. Now, he's not sure, but it's verifiable. He gave me his honest opinion. He could have just come in and said, oh, I know, it's no problem. Okay? Now, hands down, you got it made. We're going to do it. And then he gets my money. That would take several chocolate bars. Guys, love's easy to see, okay? And Roy went out of his way to make sure that he could do what was right. Do you see how that's just in everyday life and business? Guys, I think we need to understand that love is spilling over into every area of our life. Whether it's in the business that we run, whether it's the way we treat our spouse or our children, or it's whether how we deal in the community with individuals, love is verifiable and it can be seen by the people that are around you. We also need to understand that in its verifiable nature, it endures through the tough times. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7, it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And some things are pretty tough. Some things are hard to overcome. I deal with those things. You deal with those things. But when we have the kind of love that God expects of you and I, it will get us through and endure the tough times. And that's what we need, because Satan knows what it takes going to give tough times. You think he wants us to enlarge that wall and go that direction with more chairs? I guarantee he doesn't. Scared by your smack yourself, Kara. You misunderstood what I said. Satan doesn't want this good to happen. He doesn't want people to learn. He doesn't want people to have love in their life. He wants them to be miserable. Because then he's happy. Love endures through the difficult struggles that come. It's just the same way that we can see God's love. And we talked about this morning. But guys, it's so very important that we recognize God doesn't ask us something that he doesn't show us how to do. It says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, which is kind of parallel to the 1 John or John passage. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Sounds like John 3:16, doesn't it? But what he's saying is God's love is verifiable because he showed us his love by sending his son to die on the cross. And then he turns it around and he says, your love needs to be verifiable. You need to have that kind of love for one another and for others. That you will make the sacrifices, that you will show others by the things you do, by the sacrifices that you make, that you love them. Guys, let's not talk a good game. Honestly, I don't think we are. I think we're doing our best. You know my weaknesses. I might know some of yours. But together, I believe that we really are doing the best that we can to go forward and have the proper love for one another and for others. And it needs to continue. It needs to go forward. God showed us how. We need to be willing to make the sacrifices to make it go forward. Now, these next two points, I believe, are very, very crucial as we truly understand love. And that's where, you know, the first song that Tim led, Let Him Have His Way With Thee. To me, guys, it's where the rubber meets the road. To begin with, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Pretty strong words, isn't it? For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Kind of hard to love somebody that you're close to sometimes, isn't it? We know their warts. And which one of us don't have it? Does anybody here not have warts? except Dorothy. The rest of us have them. Guys, we need to understand that we prove our love to God by the love that we have for others. If I don't show you love, I don't love God. Does that make sense? And that's pretty challenging. Because every day, you and I come across things that make it hard to show love in a proper way. And in weakness, we will do things that we should not do. But you see, this is the whole thing, guys. In the next few verses, in chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to read more than just verse 3. It says, "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." We cannot separate keeping the commandments of God from you. Which ones? All of them. All of them. Guys, the whole thing about following God is acting in love. Now, it covers everything from the way we treat one another to the way that we worship God, the way we obey whatever it is that He has said. Guys, we need to recognize that obedience to God is the basis of love. And if I refuse to give in to God on something and you see that, does that make you feel loved? Do we stop to think about that? Because we are all weak and we have struggles and we have challenges, but we need to understand that God has laid down guidelines. And then in verse 3, He gives us the whole definition of love. And He simply says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." I've been hearing a lot in the past few years about there's only two commandments that you need. Love God and love one another. Therefore, that's all you need. You got that? You're done. That's not what God says. He defines what love is. Okay? If I love God, that means I do what God says. And along the lines of what God says, God also gives guidelines for how we treat each other. So what is love? Whether or not I obey Him and what He tells me to do and the way to treat you and everybody else that I come into contact with. And guys, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line in this love thing. I've got to look out for you and do my best to help you to go to heaven, because if I don't, I'm not following God. I must worship God and follow God in the things that He says, or otherwise I don't love God. I don't love. And love is such a very important thing. And the thing is, if I don't obey God, guess what? You see it. And I say, how I love Jesus. And you say, what a hypocrite. Because your actions show that you're not doing what God says. Right? That's what God said. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." It's so very important that we keep that in mind. One of the things that to me is so wonderful, and I, I probably say something every week. I am so proud to be a part of this group because we've got so much love. It makes me encouraged. It edifies me. It picks me up, and it helps me to go forward. And I'm excited to be able to come back the next time. Even at times when I feel like I'm so tired I don't want to get out of the chair, I feel I can't stop because I've got to be there. I've got to be there for the encouragement and the strength to be able to go forward. And there's so many things about this encouragement. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, we recognize this passage, and it simply says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Let's say that I hurt you in some way. Do you go around telling everybody? Or do we talk about it and solve it and it's stopped? It's over, guys. If the proper love is in place and I hurt you, you come to me, we work it out, and it's finished. Nobody needs to know. A lot of times we end up, it's easy to go around telling everybody else about what you're hurt about than to tell the one that has hurt you. That's not love, because the sin's not covered. And I believe that's the covering it's talking about in this particular situation, because the opposite is hatred stirs up strife. And so what stirs up strife? Well, so-and-so said something to me and it upset me. And so we go tell everybody. And then what's going on? You got strife. Love covers it. Hatred stirs it up. And so love is encouraging because it covers the sins. And so when you come to me and say, Fred, you hurt me in what you said or what you did, I work it out with you, and now we have a good relationship, because guess what? I've received your forgiveness. Thank you. I appreciate that. Now I feel better. I can have my conscience cleared because we've worked it out and we've gone forward. Proper love does that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. It says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Oh, that's chapter 3. Dorothy's shaking her finger at me. So I saw that finger out in the corner of my eye. I knew I was in trouble. And it didn't sound right. Okay, chapter 4, rather, verses 8 and 9. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Here again is that love. Remember, charity is that agape love. It is a self-sacrificing love. What I do for you, even if it hurts. That's the kind of love that Jesus had for you and I when He went to the cross. We see that this hospitality, a lot of times we want to take it to the extreme. It's just the everyday thing. You know, a warm greeting is hospitality. And that's the love that we need, and that encourages one another. I think that's why we love being together, isn't it? You know, I get upset, Tim will call me and I won't be close to my phone. And I'll text him back later and he doesn't respond because he's busy. These cell phones, they're a pain in the neck, aren't they? You know, this hospitality is a wonderful thing, because when we share it with one another, it offers so much support and strength. One of the things about this is we've got a God that offers help in everything that we do, and I so appreciate Him. He is my example in what He does for us, and He helps me to see what I'm supposed to be as I deal with other people around me. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 13, it says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Now, proper love, we're going to help each other, aren't we? But who showed us how? God showed us. He loved us enough. He loved us enough to help us through struggling times. He loved us enough to offer us the avenue of prayer where we can go and say, God, I need your help. He instructed us to wait on the Lord. You know, when I wait on the Lord, things work so much better. When I try to jump out and do for him, it doesn't go so well. But you know what, guys? I often will go to God and I say, God, this is what I need. And I don't know what to do. But I'm asking you to take care of it. I can think of two situations in the past week. We've got a helper. He's God. But guys, I think we've also got one another. We are there for one another, and we need to comfort one another with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. That's what he wants us. He wants us to have a taste of heaven on this earth. And when we follow the things that he tells us to do, we're going to have a taste of heaven. That's what the church is all about. We recognize that God offers help, and we need to do that for one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, really, I think all of the lessons, no matter what they are, is all about self-examination. And I think all of us, as we read the Word, we need to use it as a mirror to look at ourselves. If you're not using it to look at yourself, you really need to break it down, humble yourself, and say, God, help me to see. But in verse 4, and I just picked this verse out as the last part of the self-examination. It says, love, it suffers long. Well, I've been put up with it for a year, and I'm sick to death of putting up with it. No, love suffers long. Love is kind. But I've got my rights. No. Love is kind. Love envies not. I don't think it's fair because I didn't get that. You know? Isn't that the children start that? You ever hear that at home? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then we become adults and we still haven't forgotten it. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. It's an attitude. I want to promote you because I love you. I want to put you on a pedestal because I love you. But you want to do the same for me because you love me. And it's just like the greatest marriage on earth. That's what I got. And it's wonderful. But you and I, we're supposed to be the bride of Christ. We're supposed to treat one another that way. But we're all supposed to love those that are lost. And we're supposed to love our enemies. Is your love what the Bible says it ought to be? If not, let's grow together. Okay? Let's determine that tomorrow we'll help each other be better. To please the Lord. To encourage one another and help each other to go forward and do what is right. Guys, we're in this together. And we've got a job to do, and that job is getting one another to heaven. Let's give it all we've got. And let's make the time that we have on this earth so much more wonderful because of the love that we share with one another. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation this afternoon, do it now while we stand in the presence.